much, Herman Rawls. What a delight it is to be back ministering the Word of God at Back to the Bible. During this week, I'd like to look with you at some of the Psalms. We're going to be looking today at Psalm 114. So get a hold of your Bible and have it open to Psalm 114. You see, what the Star-Spangled Banner is to an American, and what old Canada is to a Canadian, what rural Britannia is to a Briton, Psalm 114 is to our Jewish friends. In fact, the six Psalms, Psalm 113 to 118, are called the Egyptian Hallel. The word Hallel means praise, the Egyptian praise, because these songs celebrate the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. They are Passover Psalms. And Psalm 114 is sort of a national anthem for our Jewish friends, a song of freedom. Psalm 114 reads like this. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? O mountains, that you skip like rams, O little hills, like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Well, if you personally know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then you have participated spiritually in Psalm 114. You are free. You've been set free from the bondage of the law, from the bondage of sin and death. And you can enjoy that freedom. You can rejoice just as these dear Jewish people rejoice in Psalm 114. Let's rejoice, first of all, that God is for us. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language. God is for us. You see, Israel in Egypt is a picture of what I was like before I was saved. Before I trusted Christ as my Savior, like those people in Egypt, I was in bondage. I was carrying burdens. I had no future. I couldn't help myself. There I was in bondage to the world and the flesh and the devil. And then the Lord Jesus came, and he died for me. And he spoke to me, and he said, I want you to trust me, and I will set you free. Paul wrote and said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, the Exodus is a picture of our redemption. You remember how it happened? He said to them, God did, get a hold of a lamb. I want a lamb for every family, every household. And you slay that lamb, and you catch the blood in a basin. And you go out and you get some hyssop, which was a little shrub, and you dip that hyssop in the blood, and you put the blood on the door. You apply the blood to the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But where there is no blood, there's going to be death. And the death angel visited Egypt, and the firstborn of the Egyptians died. Ah, but the Jews were set free. God is for us. God was against the Egyptians. God was against this world. Remember now, Egypt is a picture of this world system. And God is against this world system. God is no friend to this world, except that God causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust, and the sun shines upon the good and the evil. And God is good to feed people and watch over people, but he's not obligated to do this. This is just simply his kindness toward a rebellious world. But God is for us. In Romans chapter 8, there are three very wonderful verses that remind us that God is for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 talks about God the Father. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God the Father is for us. He gave his Son for us. And God the Son is for us. I read in verse 34 of Romans chapter 8, who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So God the Father is for us, Romans 8:32. And God the Son is for us, Romans 8:34. And Romans 8:26 tells us that God the Holy Spirit is for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Today, no matter how you feel, today, no matter what your circumstances may be, today, no matter what battles you are fighting, what burdens you are carrying, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God is for you. It may look like everything's against you, but that's not true, because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things are working together for good, because we love the Lord and because we belong to him. Working together for good. God is for us. Well, in the next verse of Psalm 114, we find out that God is with us. It says in verse 2 of Psalm 114, Judah became his sanctuary. Now, what is a sanctuary? Well, a sanctuary is a place where God lives, a set-apart place. He said, I am going to live with these people. God told them, build a tabernacle. And so Moses built a tabernacle, and God moved in. And God lived with his people. God is not only for us, God is with us. Solomon built a temple, and God moved in, and God dwelt with them. And you know, when Jesus Christ came down to this earth, God was in Christ. We beheld his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. One of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Right now, wherever you are, you might be driving in a truck, you might be on a tractor out in a field somewhere. Right now, where you are, in a hospital room, at home, God is with you if you know Jesus as your Savior. God is with us. He dwells in us. Judah became his sanctuary. In fact, the last thing that our Lord Jesus said before he returned to heaven, lo, I am with you always. I am with you. God is for us, and God is with us. You see, we are his people. That's the beautiful thing that God said about the people of Israel at Mount Sinai when he was going to give them his law. He told them how much he loved them. He told them what they meant to him. He said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. In verse 5, he says, you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. Oh, will you stop to realize today, God is with you because he wants to be with you. He loves you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to come near to you. In fact, James tells us, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. God is with us. No matter how you feel, no matter what your circumstances may be, no matter how much pressure you may be under today, remember, God is with us. We are his sanctuary. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I notice in Psalm 114, verse 2, that God is over us. Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. Now, dominion means that God is ruling over us. You see, there was a time when man had dominion. In Genesis chapter 1, God took Adam and Eve, and he made them the king and the queen of his creation. He gave to both of them dominion. And he said, I want you to rule over the fowl of the air, and I want you to rule over the fish of the sea and the animals on the land. And you are going to exercise dominion for me. Well, man wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to be like God. You shall be as God. That's what Satan told Eve. And she disobeyed God, and then her husband disobeyed God, and in Adam all of us fell. And so we find out that today we don't have dominion. Sin has dominion. That's one of the tragedies, one of the great tragedies of life today. Sin has dominion over us. Romans chapter 5, we find out in verse 14 that death reigned. Notice that. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Verse 17 of Romans 5, For if by the one man's offense, death reigned. Now, death does reign. Pick up the paper. There's an obituary column. Look in the yellow pages. There are undertakers in the town where you live. Death reigns. Now, why does death reign? Well, verse 21 of Romans 5 tells us why. So that as sin reigned in death. Oh, the wages of sin is death. And so death is reigning because sin is reigning. But you know, we're also told in verse 21 that grace is reigning. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we can reign in life. You see, when God rules over us, then we can exercise dominion. When we are surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ, then we have the authority of Jesus Christ behind us in our praying and in our witnessing and our working and in all that we say and do. Romans 5:17, listen to it. For if by the one man's offense, as Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Did you notice that phrase? Reign in life. Are you reigning in life? Are you exercising dominion through Jesus Christ? The Word of God makes it very clear that we are not supposed to be slaves. We're supposed to be kings. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God, to him be glory and dominion now and forever. You see, we exercise dominion through Jesus Christ. We reign in life. Now, perhaps you've seen this tract, or I've seen it in a flannel graph presentation, where they show a throne in your heart. And when we sit on the throne of our lives, we make a mess out of everything. But then the Lord Jesus says, would you let me come and sit on the throne of your heart? So we get off the throne, and Jesus gets on the throne. And that's where they stop. They say, now let Jesus reign. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said, we reign in life through Christ. When you give the throne of your heart over to Jesus Christ, then he invites you back onto the throne, and we reign together with him. Israel became his dominion. God is for us. God is with us, and God is over us. Well, there's one more marvelous truth, wonderful assurance in Psalm 114. We'll consider it in our next study. God is before us. When he delivers us, he goes before us, and he prepares the way. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you can say, God is for me, I'm not going to be afraid. God is with me, I'm not going to be lonely. God is over me, I'm going to reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ.